Welcome to Adventures in Grace. We're going to jump right back in where we were over in Romans in chapter 6, talking about our union with Christ. Number one, we have these videos for you twice a week, and they're supposed to be just 15 minutes. Now, I might as well just say what they are. They're at least usually 18 minutes, and last week I went 21, so I'm going to watch myself this time. But we have these videos for you so that you can get used to the idea that God really wants to get into your life and he can become very tangible, where he's talking to you, where you're listening to him, where you're finding him on a regular basis. And what does that do? It just boosts your faith because your confidence is in how real he is. Not just a person in a book, but a person that lives in your life. Easier to get your prayers answered when God is real. And number three, we always want to share testimonies. Why? Because our testimonies always encourage people to find God as well. Well, let's just jump right into Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30. I never get tired of saying this. I say it every single time. And that is, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, and burned out on religion? Well, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, God is so good. I just thank the Lord for all the wonderful things that he's doing in our lives and wants to do in our lives. And so, praise the Lord, let's jump right back into Romans in chapter 6. Boy, we went a little long the last time, but I got caught up so much in these scriptures because they're scriptures about our union with Christ and what it means to be drawn into union. You see me doing this each time. It's just you take two pipes that have opposite threads and you bring them together, and there's no way to get them together unless you get what's called a union. A union is able to bring together opposite forces. And that's what took place. Jesus became the union, the mediator between God and man. And he brought us together and he connected us so much so that everything in God can come down into us. And thank God he put in Jesus everything that was necessary to make us exactly like the Christ. In so much that my body goes by the same name as my head. I am Jim Hockaday, head and body. We are now the body of Christ. And so the head is seated at the right hand of God, and he raised his body up to sit together with him. That means we are in Christ. Christ is in us. And everything that Jesus wants done, he will do through his body. You see what I'm doing right now. I've got a head, but my head is making everything function and move. And I don't want to make you dizzy with all my hand movement, but I'm telling you, he is the head and we are the movements in the earth of Christ. If we'll move with the glory that he's given us, the world will see the glory that he's given us. So over in Romans in chapter 6, just getting into some of these translations, it's great. We'll just run right back into the Hudson translation that says that sin's control of the body might be rendered null. You could say it this way, sin and sickness are synonymous. Father Satan, mother sin, what do you have? Offspring, sickness, and disease. So you could say that sickness's control of the body might be rendered null. What does that mean to somebody right here? Well, I'm telling you, someone that's got a problem in your intestines. And it would be a severe problem according to the doctors. I render that null and void. My mouth, just being the mouthpiece of Jesus in the earth, I'm saying what he would say. I render that null and void, and that whole thing will literally disappear and your intestines return, even as of this day, to normality where you can eat without having any problem. And you watch, God has just done this just through that scripture alone. And then Bruce's translation of Romans 6:6 says, our old inherited self was crucified with him. Do you know how good that is to say that my old man, in other words, that sinner nature person, was crucified with Jesus? He's no longer alive. You can't say I'm going to dig him back up because he's dead, gone, and buried. Amen. He's no longer alive. And it says here, so that the material with which sin had to operate might be put out of operation. Now think of that for a moment. That the material that sin had to operate in would be put out of operation. The sin nature, that materiality of a sinful nature, attracts everything materially in this world that will cause you to sin. You could say it like this. The material with which your sin nature would gravitate to sickness and disease has put up out of operation that materiality. In other words, the materiality of disease, germ, bacteria, viruses, it's been put out of operation so that you can walk in a brand new life free from sickness and disease. People say, well, did you see how many people were sick and diseased with all this virus that went on the last couple of years? Yes, I did see all that, but I guarantee you none of them that were sick and diseased believed what we're talking about. Because if they did, the very inerrant power that's in these words, what do you mean inerrant power? Well, it was the Holy Ghost that moved upon men to write these scriptures. It was the Spirit of God that inspired men to write these scriptures. When you read this, you should be inspired to have movement. Movement toward what God says instead of movement toward what the devil says. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life, pneuma and zoe. What would that mean to you? You get some pneuma, the spirit, on your body. You get Zoe, the life of God in your body that has no sickness and no disease. It is 100% proof, absolute, the life, nature, DNA, the very cells of God implanted inside of your spirit being. It'll kill every sickness. It'll kill every disease. Again, I say, for those of you that struggle with this, take a moment to take a step back and just let God show you these things are so. This is the good news, folks. It's not about believing in someone we never meet and we know that he's with us, but we go through all the hard times of life and we never have any victories, but he's with us because he just wants us to go through all these things. Listen, the sufferings of Jesus had nothing to do with sickness and disease and your own bad choices. The sufferings of Jesus had to do with his impeccable record of walking with God and manifesting the power of God, and people incited by the devil were stirred up to try to persecute him and destroy his life and put him on a cross. The same with the Apostle Paul. All the things he went through, it was not sickness and disease. What it had to do with was very simply all the stresses of life concerning the people that were persecuting him. And if you're walking in the blessing of God to the degree where people are persecuting you, then bring it on. So in a sense, I could say to some of these people that just have no sense, but to just want to get on my healing by design advertisements and just give me a hard time, I'll just say it like this. Just do it all you want to. It does nothing to me. We're going to move forward and do the works of God, for the healer is Jesus, and God still loves his people, always will, and is still healing the sick. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Moving on a little bit, it goes on to say, not only did the material with which was used to bring sin and sickness in your life done away with, but it says that material with which sin had to operate might be put out of operation. You know what? If we camped out on that another 2 or 3 minutes, that wouldn't be a bad thing for today. The material with which sin operated in order to make you sinful, to distract you, to do the wrong of life, to live in the place of poverty of life and not walk in the benefits of your covenant, where everything you put your hand to prospers. Instead, you might say, well, everything I put my hand to, it doesn't prosper. The material with which your quote unquote bad luck has been in operation has been put out of operation. When Christ died, he put to death that old sinful person and the sin nature so that you would walk in the newness of life and be connected to something that would prosper you, that would heal you, that would bless you, that would cause you to rise above and walk with Jesus every single day. Remember his thoughts to us in Matthew 11, 27 to 30. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. But notice what he says next. He said, are you tired? Worn out, burned out on what? Religion. It's religion that's messing people up. The devil worked right with the truth to do what? To bring people away from the truth with religion and tradition and put you right back in the center of your works and your performance and thereby nullify the power, the ability, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit. Come on, everybody, listen to the things we're saying. There's so much truth to it. Let's go to Waze translation. It says, this we recognize, that our former self was nailed to his cross with him, so that that body with which was the instrument of sin might be made impotent for evil. Your body, which gravitated to sin, has been made impotent concerning evil. Not concerning good. Your brand new nature causes you just to gravitate to everything amazing. But because you were brought to the cross and you died with him, then the body which gravitated towards sin, it has been put out of operation. It has now become impotent for sin. You could say it this way. My body has become impotent concerning what? Sickness and disease. In other words, sickness and disease might attach itself to that person, but it can't live in me because my body doesn't work for it. I'm immune to it. Weymouth's translation said, this we know, that our old self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our sinful nature might be deprived of its power, so that we should no longer be slaves to sickness. Come on, the nature of sin and sickness and disease was deprived of power, people. We don't any longer have to be what? Moved and swayed by the power of sickness and disease. That's not who we are. Boy, get a hold of this. Come on, the part of you that was down in the mouth that worked your fingers to the bone just to barely get by, that part of you has been annihilated through the work of Christ, and he has raised up in you someone that is successful and prosperous. Well, there you go with that prosperity message again. You can't help but have a prosperity mentality. If you're connected to Jesus, can you not hear what we're saying? You're going to get to heaven and some of you are going to think, wow, this is over the top. God shouldn't have put so many jewels on my mansion. Listen, the mentality we understand from Jesus, the root of all evil is the love of money. But thank God for the finances to be able to fund the gospel. Well, there you go with finances again. Do you know in our Healing by Design meetings, we don't even take up an offering. I went to a meeting recently and the pastor asked me, what are you believing for? In other words, I'm preaching there and he's taking up an offering for us at the church. He said, what are you believing for? I said, I'm not. He said, what do you mean you're not? I said, God's just been blessing our socks off over and above. I'm just enjoying watching him do what he does to make sure we not only have enough, but an abundance so that we can do the work that he's called us to do. Right now, we're starting that Healing by Design. We're paying for every single night. That's a $300 tab for us to be at that hotel. And right now, we don't have a lot of people there. That doesn't bother me one bit. You say, how come? Because God's taking care of it. God's paying that. And we're stepping out to do what he said. It's going to start prospering. People are going to start coming and flocking there in the 50s and the 100s. And even more so. To do what? To be healed and be set free. We're going to have a laboratory eventually where we can prove all the results so that people can see that Jesus really is the healer. You'll never hear us promoting ourselves. We're the healers. We're healing you. No, you'll hear us saying Jesus is the healer. We're just working the works of Christ as he asked it to do. The works I do shall you do also, and greater shall you do because I go unto my Father. John 14, verse 12. My, this is so good, everybody. Come on, get into this. Carpenter translation said, he, Jesus, was a sinful fellow. He said, he wasn't. Yes, but he became your sin. It was useless to try to persuade him to become a little better, Ashamed. No, he's talking actually about our sinful nature. Excuse me, our sinful nature. He, your sinful nature, was a sinful fellow. It was useless to try to persuade him to become a little better, a shade or two less sinful. In other words, it's useless to try to tell somebody, just try to be better. That doesn't change anything. You're still a sinner until Jesus comes to live in you and destroys that sinner and makes you perfect on the inside. He had to be exterminated. I like that. He exterminated the old man, the sinner that I was, and in its place, he made me like Jesus in so much that Jesus has come to live inside of my spirit. So much so that the great mystery of the church, Colossians 1, 27, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only is he in you, he is infused in you. You are in him, he is in you. You are one spiritual being in the Lord. Come on, think of this. One spiritual being in the Lord. Wow. Well, time is moving forward, so I'm going to go ahead and just give you a grace story here. It says, the grace stories are piling up lately, but I have one to share with you that just happened yesterday. I've been making a homemade sourdough for months now, and just Saturday, I mentioned to my husband that when we were financially able to, I want to invest into a bread slicer. Sometimes the crust is very hard and difficult to cut, and I have even had a knife slip and graze my hand. I was invited I was excited at the thought and content to know that I might take some time and it might take some time, and we would get there eventually. Talking about the bread machine. I'm going to put a little light on this here, just a moment. Well, the next day, Sunday, we had a family come over to celebrate the 4th of July. My dad has a great job and always purchases the food for our family to get together every Sunday or the holidays. So he was making suggestions for what to eat, and everyone decided on grilled meat. Well, we got in the car, went to the store, and suddenly he told me that he really wanted to just make lunch meat sandwiches. And if I was okay, he wanted to drive across town to purchase a meat slicer so we could have healthier meat that's not so processed. He then said that he thought it might work on bread as a bread slicer too. I was kind of shocked for a moment and tried to remember if I had messaged him that day before, but I hadn't said anything. It was grace. Every day I'm looking for grace, and the big surprises like this are always a thrill. He ended up getting a fancy slicer that is electric and slices so many things, including bread. He's leaving it at our house for me to use. That was so fast and such a blessing to me. I'm so thankful and excited for tomorrow when I get to have more adventures in grace. Thank you so much for your channel and all your content on YouTube. It has opened my eyes to the grace all around me, and my life has taken on a whole new, exciting, and thrilling view. I know that sounds looks kind of crazy here. I'm using my iPad to give me some light. But isn't that wonderful? And you just think about it. It's so, so simple. And we would look at that and think, are you kidding? Can it be that simple? And the answer is absolutely yes. Jesus just wants to be involved with you, but you have to learn how to acknowledge him, which is the invitation of letting Jesus be real. Well, go to our Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe. Bring people there. They need to hear this. You can go to our Facebook, Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook, and follow us. Or for sure, go to our website and find jhmi at jimhockaday.com, which is our email, and send in these type of stories. Everyone you send in not only encourages us, but it also opens our hearts and everyone else that hears them to the idea that God could do amazing things for them too. We'll see you next time.